T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, at By Ryan Wood on Twitter, at By Ryan Wood on Twitter. So, Ryan, how you been, man?
Doing pretty well, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing okay, and getting ready for this football season. The optimism seems to be growing as if they might be able to figure this thing out. So far, we have not heard a lot about, you know, problematic, COVID outbreaks and such. So give me your thoughts on, first of all, your optimism for this season, not only getting underway, but being in some way, shape, or form, being able to be completed.
Yeah, I think it's still early on enough that it very much is a guess. But if I was to guess, I mean, I think some level of season, getting that through is more likely than not. The question to me is, can they do it while maintaining the credibility of competition and the integrity of the season and not have what's going on in baseball right now, where you have complete teams having to rework their entire roster because of COVID. That to me is the question. They're going to play. I mean, they're here. They're going to play. The other part of that, what's the threshold of patience that you'll see from the commissioner's office if COVID does start wrecking things? I mean, you've seen a lot of patience in baseball. Rob Manfred's been very patient with the schedule. They've done a lot of wonky things that you've never seen in the history of baseball before. Will football have to follow suit? Will they have to be as flexible as you've seen in baseball with scheduling, with rosters, with all kinds of stuff that, again, calls in play in question the integrity of the competition? Those are the things to me that are most interesting, even more than are they going to play or not. I think they're going to play. It's just, what does that look like?
So getting more towards the Packers, the X and O's. First of all, the Packers, I heard Mike Clemens say that they were going to probably do some practices next week, and now we're hearing it's going to be on the 15th on Saturday. Did they push something back? Did they push it back for a reason or what?
No, they had a window to get on the practice field. The window's from the 12th to the 16th to start ramping up, and in that window they decided the 15th. Pads can't be strapped until the 17th, so – it's certainly usually when they have a regular training camp, it's usually the first 2 days are non-padded and then they get into pads day three. So it could very well be that they just wanted to get 2 days of non-padded work and then get day three into pads.
So looking at this, now we were talking a little bit earlier with Aaron Eager, Director of Research and Development for Pro Football Focus, and I was reading what Rob Domofsky had written about some scouts talking about Alan Lazard, and even though Davante Adams speaks highly of him, most seem to think that Lazard's maybe your number three or number four wide receiver. He's not the true number two. So in listening to all of that, getting the breakdown of Brett Favre today and hearing him speak on fan side, do you think the Packers did Aaron Rodgers a disservice by not getting him another wide receiver other than Funchess, obviously?
Well, they didn't. They definitely didn't do him a favor. You know, I mean, they didn't address that position that helps quarterbacks if you had talent there. And instead of doing that, they drafted his very likely replacement. So, yeah, it's you know, there were no favors done for the quarterback. Now, here's where the favor might come in hand. What's a quarterback's best friend? A trusty running game, especially an aging quarterback. If you've got a guy who's getting into his late 30s, you like to supplement that, just like the Denver Broncos did in the 90s with John Elway, with a trusty running game. And that's what the Packers are looking at. But even still, I mean, the stat to me that stands out the most when it comes to the passing game last year is they only had one 500-yard receiver. That's the first time in the history of the Green Bay Packers, going back to the 70s, the first time they ever only had one 500-yard receiver in a 16-game season. It had never been done before. In a 16-game season, they'd always had multiple, at least two guys cross 500 yards. Devontae Adams, almost a 1,000-yard receiver. He's that perennial guy that you can count on. Their second leading receiver last year was Lazard with 477. That's not legit number two receiver production. Can he do it this year? Maybe if he builds off of what he did last year. But last year, 477 yards is not what you want to get from your number two. So, yeah, they're going to this run game, but even still, bottom line, they've got to get more out of the receiving production than they did a year ago.
How much does taking the burden off of Aaron Rodgers help in a guy that can execute the offense and improv as well as anybody when it comes to upgrade? Because the old adage is, okay, if I'm not getting stronger here, then I got to get stronger there. So if they got stronger in the run game and more versatile with the run game and throwing the guys out of the backfield and the Gara and such, then they become a better team. Do you buy into that, or do you look at it as, well, yes, they got run strong, but they were already run strong with what Aaron Jones brought to the table, plus his ability to pick up the blitz, plus his ability to catch passes out of the backfield?
Well, here's where it helps. I don't know that it's just the rushing production in terms of yards and average. I don't even know if it's the receivers out of the backfield and having that be a viable part of the passing game. I think what they're banking on it making the biggest difference is in the action pass game and building their pass game off the action fake, where a lot of big plays come in. I mean, you look at your chunk yardage plays in the pass game, a lot of times it's involved with the action fake. So what's the bedrock of being able to do that is having that consistent run threat that sucks up the defense, that defenses have to fear and respect and circle. Defenses, and Mike Pettine said the same thing when the two times they played the Minnesota Vikings last year. Dalvin Cook only played one of those games, but in the first one, going against that Minnesota Vikings offense, that a lot of weapons, right? You had Diggs, you had Thielen, you had Cook. Mike Pettine said that the key to stopping that offense was Dalvin Cook, and everything else kind of based off of that. It's not hard to see the Packers offense kind of taking the same mold, where that not just Aaron Jones, but by committee as well, they went out and they drafted A.J. Dillon in the second round. They've got guys very similar to San Francisco 49ers. They can throw at the run game in waves. And then basing the offense off the action pass game and being able to get chunk plays that way. I mean, that's where it can maybe make the biggest impact.
Talk about covering training camp without actually having access to the players and having access to a training camp.
It's different. There's no question about that. You know, what's the buzz term? New normal. It's been a new normal, and it's something to adjust to. You know, it's better than the off season. We went, you know, no OTAs, no mini camp, no rookie orientation. It was a long, dark off season in terms of having access to this team. But no, it's new. There's no question about that.
So what, if anything, have we learned so far early on in this camp? I mean, obviously it's a lot of meetings, it's a lot of Zoom, it's a lot of social distancing, and it's a lot of testing, but what, anything that you've learned that you thought, okay, this is something insightful, this is something I should probably pay attention to, or we should pay attention to as far as one of the stories coming out of camp?
Well, I think to me, one thing that stood out today with Matt LaFleur and the Zoom call that he had was he effectively said that they're going to keep three quarterbacks, which I was my expectation going into camp that they would keep Tim Boyle, but you know that a reason why they trimmed their roster down to three quarterbacks recently was so that they could give the reps to the three guys they know they're going to have. So I think today you kind of learned that, you know, Tim Boyle's a going to factor in this 53. Not surprising, because it's just a tall order for Jordan Love to be ready to go if something happens to Aaron Rodgers in September. I mean, the rookie had no offseason. He had it was a virtual offseason, a truncated training camp. So take into the equation as well the very distinct possibility that COVID could, you know, have some impact on the roster. And you have to be guarded against that. You have to be prepared for that. If you only have two quarterbacks, you're awfully thin, even in the best of times. So, you know, I not a surprise, but certainly interesting that this is a team that seems very, very committed going forward to keeping three quarterbacks on the 53.
Real quick before I let you go, Mike Pettine's usage of his defensive front. Now, one of the things Kenny Clark said the other day is it's not the easiest to stop the run when you're in dime most of the time. Is there a thought that they're going to run bigger fronts more often now that it's become more of a balanced attack? Because it's a quarterback-driven league, we all know that, but there's more and more teams starting to run the football. Do you think they pull out of dime more, or do you think they continue to play it their way and they just rely upon Kenny up front and hope that they're able to stop the run in some semblance with Kirksey in the middle?
Yeah, I would be surprised. I mean, there's logic to beefing up the defensive front, no question, but I would be surprised just because when you look at the roster, who's going to get those snaps? Who are they going to put on the field? They're thin at interior defensive line, they're thin at the edge, and they're thin at the second level and inside linebacker. All three of those positions in the defensive front are thin. You got Kenny Clark and who? Dean Lowry. You know, Tyler Lancaster's an okay run defender. But are those your best 11? You on the edge, you've got the Smiths, and you know they certainly hope Rashawn Gary. But behind those three, who do you got on the edge in terms of a rotation going in on the field? And then inside linebacker, you've got Kirksey and question marks galore. I mean, Ty Summers had a promising seventh round pick, promising rookie season, but a lot of that was special teams. Curtis mm-hmm. Bolton's coming off an ACL, Oren Burks. Who knows, right? So,
right.
They're so thin on the defensive front that it's hard for me to see them really changing much, because if they put their best 11 on the field, that probably means extra defensive backs.
Great stuff as always, Ryan. We certainly appreciate it, and we're going to talk again later next week. Okay.
All right. Take care.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. That's our buddy Ryan Wood from the Green Bay Press Gazette giving us a lowdown as to what's going on in Green Bay. You can find him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood, @ByRyanWood. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.